He looked and he thought Dad John Hancock on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the dust survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake? What? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation and your phony book full of lies, calling me somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show. Oh, my goodness. I cannot begin to tell you how crazy it is that the turn of where we are is like going down a road you don't know where you're going down. But nonetheless, you take the ride and you go down the road you think is right. That speaks to us individually. But in the world of sports, the road you take forever affect and transcend the logic that people hate. Because it's always about what we want. Where is the true reason for watching television? The true reason for watching sports? There are so many true reasons about everything that there is. And you're going to find that out today. Yes, you will. We got my good friend Matt Broderick in the chat room wishing everybody happy Friday. Matt, happy Friday to you as well. And, you know, I'm not sure where to throw in this story, but you'll eventually hear me mention it at some point. I was trying to figure out this morning when I woke up, I'm like, where am I going to stick this story? A former Saved by the Bell star from that TV show was actually involved in a wrestling event, Matt. You're going to wait. Just wait till you hear who it is. Oh, boy. And no, I can tell you from the TV show, it wasn't Zach. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got huge, huge topics to cover. First, is the NFL getting worse? We're going to get in that in just a minute. Are you ready for the World Series, Matt? I know almost everybody is. And DDP is wrestling back on top. Ladies and gentlemen, these are all kind of questions that have come up with in my own mind this week. And it just blows my mind to think that what things could actually happen. Well, I can tell you for one thing. You know that road that I was telling you about sports taking? Let's just say that, hey, you know, the Raiders on one hand, they are struggling. But they're struggling because they have new ownership. And this thing, whatever they are trying to accomplish, it's not going to be accomplished. Because almost everyone here, I hear it all the time, you know, why don't you jump to you know, the 49ers, become a 49ers fan? And I said, how am I going to become a 49ers fan? I've never seen anybody, at least here in the immediate area where I live, because we live so damn close to both the 49ers and we live so close to the Raiders. And the same, well, there would be no reason for switching teams unless I went down to L.A. You know, and I became home to the Chargers. The L.A. area, that's the only place you will find another football team in California. That's it. The only three teams in California are the San Diego Chargers, the 49ers, and the Raiders. And, of course, we know that in Texas, of course, DDP, he got the Texans there. Matt's got the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Coffee just jumped into the chat room. I'm not sure, you know. And evidently he heard what I said, too. No, we're not going to be quoting Ninja Turtle catchphrases here, Coffee. I'm not sure. I don't know why, but I tend to forget where Coffee lives. But, you know, like I said, we've got only two NFL teams, three in, here in California. You got the Chicago Bears, where Matt Broderick lives. The Texans, where DDP lives. You know, it's just out there. It depends where you live. Wherever you live, I think remotely that everybody else, all of you listening, you know, in other states and probably in other parts of the world, I know we have our friend from Australia listening, but you guys more than likely don't have no teams to jump to because there's only one team in your state or your country. Like I said, here in our state, here in California, there's three football teams. The Raiders and Niners are so damn close, they're only a bridge drive away from each other. Then, of course, if I did move away and go down south to Southern California, I would have to become and jump ship and join the San Diego Chargers. Other than that, I'm not going to switch teams. Why would I want to switch teams even though he's in Minnesota. That's right. So you've got the Vikings there. You know, but anyway, I can't believe the audacity of where the sports roads have taken us, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's crazy. Because on Sunday, I saw something that I never thought I would see. And I had to start making phone calls once this game went to a commercial. I want to make sure, I mean, I know I'm still young. I'm only 29. But I wanted to make sure my hearing was still okay. Because it threw me for a loop. I'm not sure how many of you saw, you know, the San Francisco game on Sunday. For the second straight week, yes, I was watching the San Francisco 49ers. And they had their opponent. And it was the third quarter. But they called, with 3 minutes left on the clock in the third quarter, it's a penalty against San Francisco. And I was like, ooh, yeah, all right. And I was on the phone talking with my uncle, and he's like, oh, shut your mouth, kid. I was like, your Niners just got penalized. He's like, quiet, I want to hear this. And the referee, because at the top of the game, they said that, well, Mike Shaw is your referee for today. I was like, Very interesting name. What a name, Mike Shaw. But he's the lead referee. He's talking with all the other referees after this play from the second down and nine. And he said, penalty on the 49ers, unsportsmanlike conduct to the ribs. And I was like, what? You're penalizing the Niners for smacking another team in the ribs? My uncle's like, did you hear what I hear? I go, I don't know. What did you hear? And he told me the same thing. I said, that's what I heard. He said, this is football. I said, exactly. You're exactly right. Oh, coffee. No, don't go there, man. I'm not a Trojan fan. I don't roll that way. You know who I roll with for college football? I'm probably going to get some heat from Matt Broderick on this one. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never told you. No, I never have. In the 5 years that I've been here on Blog Talk Radio, entertaining you guys, bringing you the best show possible, I can't believe I never have told you. I will tell you now. It's taken me 5 years to mention this. I told you all of the other teams I like. I told you who my favorite wrestler is all these years. But, oh, okay, well, I guess we have to take a little pause here, and I got to tell you all, I roll with Stanford, okay? That's who I roll with. Stanford are my boys. Because Stanford, they're a junction to my hometown, kind of. I mean, Stanford is, you know, it's in Sunnyvale, but it's near San Jose. It's right next to San Jose, and San Jose is where I was born. So the next city over is Santa Clara, and that's where Stanford is. You're right. I wouldn't be able to afford shit to get into Stanford, even if I wanted to. Oh, here we go. Matt Broderick and DDP are putting their 2 cents in. Matt Broderick said, it's all about the Fighting Irishman. Fighting Irish. Yeah, right. Oh, you guys, too much. But still, and I can't wait. Oh, hold on. Holy shit. Since we're talking on the subject, there are 3 college games tomorrow. Yeah. All right. 3 college games. Notre Dame is playing tomorrow. Oh, I can't wait for that. Oh, tomorrow. Oh, boy. And it'll start about this time. It's a good thing I'm on Fridays and not on Saturdays anymore. Otherwise, I'd probably be missing half the game right now if today was Saturday. But it's not. So it starts at 1 o'clock my time tomorrow. I'm going to watch the Notre Dame game. Then after that, I'm going to switch to a local channel here in the area, because they're showcasing another college football game. See, I hate this time of year because it's going to start raining in 2 weeks, and it'll probably rain all the way to fucking January. No, it usually rains till March, till my birthday. It better not rain on my birthday next year, I swear. I hate the rain. I hate wintertime. People are like, oh, thunder and lightning is awesome. I don't care for it. And people drive crazy in the rain, too. I got to be careful not to drive crazy in the rain myself. But I do like this time of year also because it's football season. The NFL is underway. They've been underway for 2 weeks. And college football starts tomorrow. So let's get this show on the road with college football. And remember, I said, remember what I said 2 months ago? That now, after all these years, that college football, they finally implemented, remember I said this 2 months ago, I said it on July 27th. The July 27th episode, I said that they are implementing a semifinals matchup, you know, much like the NFL does. You know how the NFL, they create a playoff slot and then they start eliminating teams one by one. Why didn't college football start this years and years ago? They wait till now to do it. But at least they're doing it. So now it'll be interesting once we get to the college playoff, not the NFL playoff, but the college playoff, and then they're going to start building their own brackets. I don't know why they didn't have brackets before. I mean, everybody else does. Hell, WWE does it. They do it for wrestling. But college football never did it until now. It's about time. Shit. You know how long people have been waiting for this? Oh, it's raining right now in the Windy City, Matt says. I guess your summer ended early. But still, the point at hand is I didn't appreciate the call that they made, even though I'm not a Niners fan. I don't like the Niners. But I do feel bad for them when they got called, you know. And, you know, I was like, what the hell kind of call was that? And my uncle said, aren't these referees getting up there? And I said, well, I told them the same thing that I told you guys last week, you know, about the whole, they're replacing the referee because some of these referees are getting ready to retire and they're trying to teach the new guys, the young guys, the rules for refereeing a game. But these young guys, I mean, come on, we're all guys here, right? I know some ladies are listening to us, but they're not in the chat room. But guys, we know damn well we don't listen. We don't listen for shit. We have to be told 2 or 3 times. That's why I said, because people were asking me in the last 2 weeks. You know, I got asked another 2 nights ago. So I heard you don't have a problem with that girl referee who's only 23 years old. And I don't have a problem with women referees. Women actually remember stuff more than we do. They only need to be told once what to do, and fuck, they turn around and get the job done. And that's all it took her. They told her what to do and how to do it, and they said, are you sure you got this? So I got it. I remember. I'll remember everything throughout the game, too. And she did. But I don't think Roger Goodell would seriously consider having women referees. He's kind of like Vince McMahon when it comes to that. It's only, he only uses them for eye candy, and then he gets rid of them. Doesn't think he needs them. That's why Vince McMahon only has 22 women wrestling, because he got rid of all the other ones. Oh, you're not pretty enough. But hey, maybe women should start taking over the NFL, referee-wise, of course. The Denver-Jacksonville game was even worse. The referee had said, holding. Holding penalty, and then right after that, 2 plays later, they didn't get the chance to throw because they called, you know, a game timeout because the referee said this one stupid statement during the Jacksonville, you know, Giants game on Sunday. Pass interference for tackling the quarterback behind the line of scrimmage. I was like, what? You can tackle the quarterback anywhere you want. What are you talking about? What the fuck kind of idiot referee is this guy? It was already the second quarter by the time I joined the Jacksonville Giants game, because the Niners game had ended, so I switched over to to ESPN to watch this game, so I don't even know what that referee's name was. But I was like, what kind of fucking stupid call is that? That, you're calling a penalty because he tackled the quarterback. He tackled the Giants quarterback from behind the line of scrimmage, and he said that's not allowed. I know you would, Coffee. But, Coffee, I also know that you're kind of like me. You're kind of strongly opinionated. What do you think about this stupid call here where he said that he penalized the Giants for sacking the quarterback behind the line of scrimmage? I'm going, damn, what the hell? First the Niner game, now this? Oh, gee. but on Thursday, this past Thursday, it was pretty good. The Giants took on Carolina 36-7 on, you know, last night. That was, wow. Very crazy. I never thought I'd see that happening. But, you know, I kind of favored Carolina, but I guess not. They didn't do so well last night. I hope the football gods are listening. Bring in some smart referees for Sunday, for all the Sunday games. Three of the games that you will see will take place on ESPN. The rest will take place on CBS, for those of you that live here in my area or anywhere in California. And the last 10 games will all take place, well, on the NFL Network. I know everybody doesn't get the NFL Network, but we all have phone apps and things like that now, so we can all find out from our phones what the score is and stuff like that. So here's the breakdown. Jacksonville takes on Indianapolis. Buffalo will play Cleveland. The Jets will play Miami. Kansas City will play New Orleans. Ooh, that's going to be a good game. Kansas City and New Orleans, they never give up. The two fighting teams that just don't quit. Cincinnati and Washington. Detroit will take on Tennessee. San Francisco will take on Minnesota. Ooh, boy. St. Louis will take on Chicago. I don't know, the Rams versus the Bears. Two live animals. I think, I don't know if Rams are scared of Bears or Bears are scared of Rams, Matt. One way or the other, I forgot which way that goes. Tampa Bay will take on Dallas. Ooh, haven't seen Dallas and Tampa Bay play each other in a long time. Atlanta will take on San Diego. Philadelphia takes on Arizona. Houston plays host to Denver. Baltimore will play New England. And you're probably wondering. Matt Broderick said, well, this time, this week will be different. The Bears will not be hibernating like they did against the Cheeseheads. He means the Packers. I can't begin to tell you anything about that. But, ladies and gentlemen, what a serious turn of events if you did or did not see the National UK soccer game that took place this week. It was very riveting, very strange, and very scary for many people. Because imagine if you're in a big auditorium stadium. Now, let me see, how can I best put this for you guys? If you've ever saw, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia movies, or if you're like me and went out for no apparent reason to watch the Hunger Games, or if you ever did see from the old days, if you ever did watch the King Arthur, you know, series, that TV show, and you have this big auditorium. It's just a, you know, kind of like where the how big they are when they do these movies about, you know, wild animals with bulls and bulls going after the person trying to attack him and stuff like that. But, you know, the UK and other countries like that, they've got those kind of stadiums. Their stadiums are nothing like ours here in the United States. But anyways, imagine just a big, humongous field. And, you know, you're watching soccer. Well, they call it football over there. But imagine you're watching this game. You're in the stands. And then the referee calls a timeout. They had to call a timeout because three fans thought it was funny. Here's where the seriousness kicked in. They ended up throwing some obscenities into the field. And they did. And one of the players, you know, he got there before the officials did. They're like, "What's that?" He's like, "Well, I'm going to take care of it." And he did. He threw these objects out the way, away from, well, he threw them kind of in the middle of the field. All of a sudden, the object that he just thrown into the middle of the field, and everybody stood back, seconds later, they explode. No one was injured, thank God, but, I mean, it could have been a real tragedy if the whole building had got blown up and all billions of people had died. But it was just a little explosion, but still. Then they notified the UK authorities, and they found out, you know, they were trying to identify at first who did it. Then they did, and those three sons of bitches got arrested. You can't just show up at a game and throw objects, much less a damn bomb, onto the field. Now, if one of us were to do that, you know, they'd probably... because in the UK, they're much different. They're kind of bold in some things, but they're not bold in everything. Unlike us here in the United States. Like, if I was with a group of friends and I saw Coffee, Matt Broderick, and DDP all sitting together at some random game, whether it be football or baseball, whatever, and I'm just sitting there enjoying myself, and I see, let's pretend that I see you three pieces of trash throwing stuff onto the field, and then it explodes, and the authorities are going to be like, "It came from over there, from that section. Who did that?" I'm going to be like, "It was those three right there." Me and a whole bunch of people would be all over you guys like the damn police ourselves. We're all going to make our own citizens arrest. We're going to be like, "We saw you three. It was them three. They did it. They were the ones that threw that bomb on the field, officer." Yes, Coffee, I know. Melky Cabrera is completely getting screwed left and right. I can't begin to tell you how sad I feel for him. I wish this didn't happen, but it did. He's still serving his 50-game suspension. It's a real sad story. Yes, I would, Matt. Yes, I would. But that's not right. In all seriousness, with all due respect to you UK fans who may be listening, we're not trying to harbor or say anything bad about your country, because you guys produce better sports than we do in all aspects. And I say that with full honesty. I'm just talking in general about the three sons of bitches that did this. I'm glad they were caught. No, the media didn't post pictures of what they look like or anything after they got arrested. I know some people probably took pictures when they got arrested, but nobody has no clue what they look like because they haven't been released. So. Coffee, you never know, because let me tell you, pal. When I used to work with her, when we used to work together in retail, I'd go to some of the store, and I think she was there. She was like, "Oh yeah, that's my evil twin." Then I'd go to another store and be like, I'd call her. I'd be like, "I just saw you again." She's like, "I'm not in that city. You know, I don't live there. You're the one traveling all these different stores." I'm like, "I swear, I keep seeing you everywhere. How many evil twin sisters do you have?" She's like, "Oh, there's lots of us." So, yeah, you never know. It might happen, Coffee. So, you know, and she's a big sports fan, so you never know. Show up to any game you want. I think she got some family, actually, in Minnesota, so you never know. I know you love throwing stuff, but now that you hear this, if you plan on going to any sporting event, don't throw anything, because then you might get caught by her. And then I won't be able to help you at all. I tell you. So much is going on. Actually, I'll leave the suspense up to you guys. Because, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do this right now. I tell you. It's all about perfect timing, and I've got perfect timing. I'm going to leave it suspenseful as possible. Who got involved with the wrestling from Saved by the Bell? Only I know that.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
The hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Koosh himself, Mick Dirty, says. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. On behalf of the Big Dog, we want to remind you that every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, we have our two-hour extravaganza, and then every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, we have our weekend review and our weekend preview. Don't forget to catch us over at blogtalkradio.com/sportstalkwiththeguys and head on over to www.sportstalkwiththeguys.com.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, and we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Oh, I'm sorry. You guys caught me eating again. For the last month and a half, you guys have caught me eating. I try to finish it before the commercials end, before the music ends, but I guess I'm just not fast enough anymore. Guess what today is? Today's lunch, pizza from Little Caesars. There's only one person I know, my very close neighbor, lives down the hall from me. He's very, very critical. He's only a round table guy, he claims. He's never eaten any other kind of pizza. It's just Domino's. No, wait, round table. He's a round table guy. Me, I like all pizza. Well, not all pizza. I don't like combination. Cheese pizza's all right, but cheese is still kind of boring with just cheese on it, you know? Combinations really get me going. And that coffee, don't order any Hawaiian pizza and send it to my house, okay? For my birthday, I don't like Hawaiian pizza. It's nasty. Just my opinion. But ladies and gentlemen, during the commercial break, Coffee had told me a huge story in just developing. He read the story wrong about Melky Gabriel screwing himself. And the story actually is that, ladies and gentlemen, I've never heard, this is unheard of in the world of baseball. Melky Gabriel from the Giants, who is serving his 50-game suspension, just asked to be DQ'd, disqualified. I can't believe this. He's asked to be disqualified from the batting race. There, I said it. I can't believe this. It's crazy. Ugh, pineapple. Ugh. Ugh, don't make me start throwing up now. Coffee, pineapple, pizza. Ugh. Where do they come up with these damn names? I remember, 3 years ago, they started creating sausage pizza. That's just sausage on there. What else are they going to create next? Good grief. But anyways, I gave Matt Broderick in the chat room 2 chances to get this answer, and both times he got it wrong. So, who you ask from Saved by the Bell is, quote-unquote, Yahoo Sports is poking fun at this. They had a lot of fun putting this article together, I'm sure. Because as we know from the TV show, that we thought A.C. Slater was the only wrestler at Bayside High School. Not so true. Dennis Hawkins, who played the bewildered principal Mr. Billing in the early 90s teen show Saved by the Bell, he served as the guest commissioner at a pro wrestling event in New Jersey last weekend. TMZ is the one who broke the initial story. They also have the video of it, but Yahoo is the one reporting it from TMZ. The 61-year-old actor didn't just make an appearance. He actually got in the ring and got involved by slamming a much younger grappler to the ground while the crowd roared in approval. Well, I guess Zach Morris won't be messing with him anytime soon. Dennis Hawkins, wow. Hawkins worked with Pro Wrestling Syndicate, a Rawway-based outfit that employs famous 80s wrestlers like Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Big Van Vader. They even named the event Saved by the Ring Bell in his honor. They said, quote, that we picked up that fans really liked Mr. Building. Dennis Hawkins, a.k.a., said PWS owner Pat Buck. Pat also says he was a total trooper. He went above and beyond the call of duty, down to practicing wrestling moves. He worked his butt off. A lot of fans came out to see him. The crowd was between 800 and 100,000. Buck adds that Hawkins dressed in a business suit throughout the event because he was acting like a commissioner. He was the authority figure that night. At the end of the match, one of the villains was acting kind of rowdy. So Hawkins and the heroes kind of kicked his butt, and the former Mr. Building showed off his, you know, wrestling stuff, his wrestling expertise, by breaking out another wrestler's signature move. During the scuffle, Hawkins dispatched his opponent with the Stone Cold Stunner. That's right. Mr. Building delivered the Stone Cold Stunner that was made famous, of course, by Steve Austin, because it's pretty much the most popular move of all time. You know, Dennis Hawkins said he'd figure that it'd be a good hit with the wrestling crowd. The next PWS event is on October 12th. Buck said they'd love to have Hawkins back in the future. Hawkins said that he certainly isn't shy about milking every last drop of his Saved by the Bell fame. He now supplements his income making personal appearances at bars across the country and reprised his role as Mr. Building earlier this year on Nickelodeon's Victorious TV show. His official website also says he appeared as a celebrity guest host on an 80s-themed boat party in Florida back in May. Looks like for Mr. Hawkins, school is always in session. Very nice, very nice. Yeah, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I listened to his radio show once or twice, but never when Mr. Building was on the show, Coffee, so, yeah. Well, Matt, there you go. Now you know who it is. More than likely, there's more to the story. Mr. Building did say that, you know, Dan Hawkins, a.k.a. Dan Hawkins, that he would probably return to this promotion sometime in March. Oh, I wish I lived in the area, that I could go to a PWS show and greet him myself. But, well. Anyway, wow, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of wrestling news, what a way to start wrestling topics, huh? Somebody who used to be on TV is still in the spotlight. For 61 years old, he still looked the same. He doesn't even look 61. He still got the same hair and everything. But in response to the WWE article about whether Wade Barrett would ever reform Nexus, Wade Barrett tweeted this about his other group, The Core. He said, I certainly would not reform The Core. Mr. Journalist, he's talking to the reporter from one of the wrestling websites that interviewed him about this. He said, in fact, The Core is my greatest regret in almost 9 years of wrestling at every level. He said, I burned the history books if I could. The Corps are equals, they cried. Kick my English backside, you clowns. Whatever Wade Barrett means by that. And if you think Linda McMahon's position and running for Senate is big, no, this is bigger than big. All these stories I'm about to tell you for Wrestling News are bigger than hers. Certainly not bigger than Dan Hawkins. But Jesse Ventura said during an appearance on Current TV this past Tuesday night, and I was shocked when I saw him, I saw the words come out of his mouth. He said, with all the politicalness going on, there's only one man to make history for 2016. And they said, who is that? The host of Current TV said that. And Jesse Ventura said, why me, of course. Who do you else do you think is running for president in 2016? Nobody right now. As we all know, he was promoting his latest book. And he also said in his book that he's contemplating running in 2016. But that was in 2010. This is now 2012, and he's finally made up his mind. He added that out of all the presidents, only George Washington had no political party. He said he wants to start a new party that is a grassroots movement. He said, in politics, all you got is Coke and Pepsi, right? One is slightly sweeter than the other, but they're both bad for you. So are all politics, he said. As you all remember from 1999, he shocked the world when he became the governor of Minnesota in 1999. WWE Hall of Famer Jack Briscoe was born on this date, this year, in 1941. He died on February 1st, 2010, at the age of 68 due to complications from open heart surgery. Ricky Morton turned 56 years old this week. Crazy, right? And I know you haven't heard anything about them, neither have I. But here's a small update for you Bella Twins. I'm a Bella Twin myself. The NFL Network runs a series called Top 10, in which they count down the top 10 items in various categories relating to the NFL. This week, however, the Bellas were interviewed for the shows. But it's interesting because when they're on the screen, they're referred to as TV personalities with no mention of what TV shows they've been seen on. Like, they had, you know, different talk show people like Jay Leno, but they don't tell you what shows these people have been on. And it was no different because when the Bellas were on the NFL's TV show Top 10, there was no mention of them being wrestlers in the WWE whatsoever. Yet they were referred to by the WWE name of the Bella Twins. That's how they were introduced by the host. All he said was, please welcome the Bella Twins. For some reason, the host and the producers of this NFL show, they don't tell you where these other people are, how famous they are, how they got their start, or where they're at now. They just don't. I knew who they were when they were on that show this week. Some of my friends were like, oh, two very lovely girls, the Bella Twins. I think I could get along with them in person. I'm like, yeah. Well, I said under my breath, I'm like, yeah, right, they're two former wrestlers that will kick your ass. And check this out. Vince and Linda McMahon will pay back creditors. Yes, creditors, who were not reimbursed when the two filed for bankruptcy in 1976. The news was raised as an issue against Linda in her Senate race, and Linda has announced that they will pay back the 29 creditors, saying that she didn't see the list for almost 36 years until the details were released this week. Yeah, right. Come on now. Linda's trying to tell the world that, oh, me and Vince would probably say the same thing if this was him talking. You know that. Well, I'm Vince McMahon, damn it. I don't have time to pay attention to creditors and who we owe money to. Bullshit. They knew about this the whole time, and now they're just acting like, oh, it's a surprise. It's a birthday surprise. We just now found out we have to pay all these people back. 9 creditors? Come on. Come on. This is ridiculous. Linda also said in a further statement, over the past 2 days, Vince and I have begun attempts to try to find and reach out to all individuals on the creditor list. Excuse me, time out. You have to find these companies? If they're mailing you letters, when you get letters from your bank coffee or stuff like that, and they want money, you know who they are, because the name of your bank or whoever is on that letter when they mail it to you. Bullshit, Linda. If you were right here right now in front of me, I'd say bullshit. We're beginning attempts to find and locate. We have to find out what the names of these companies are. Like I said, bullshit. She said it's our intention to reimburse all private individual creditors that can be located. We feel it's the right thing to do to pay them in full. Yeah, after all these years. Including an adjustment for inflation at 4 times the initial amount as shown on the list of creditors. Come on. 1976, Vince? Linda, I don't think you should be worried about your Senate seat right now. You better pay all these people back. I'm glad I don't owe 9 different creditors. Shit. And as most of you can imagine, the mood backstage on the Raw Live Montreal show was very emotional when Jerry Lawler, of course, suffered his heart attack on the air. Both Triple H and Rey Mysterio were both very emotional about the situation. Vince McMahon was running the show from the gorilla position, so Triple H was the one getting all the first-hand information about how grave Lawler's situation really was for a while, because WWE officials were trying to keep talent calm during the ordeal. And yet again, 2 more promotions have followed Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and cut ties with the NWA. And those 2 promotions are NWA Wisconsin has officially changed their name to Wisconsin Pro Wrestling and cut ties with the promotion, according to their Facebook page. Well, Mac1 Pro Wrestling has also announced they will be leaving the organization within the next 2 weeks. The departures come on the heels of the NWA name and organization passing into new hands due to a lawsuit over ownership and alleged insurance fraud. Good grief. Good grief. I don't get this. Everyone is leaving the National Wrestling Alliance. Well, Coffee, maybe he will be a good president. I don't know. But we'll have to wait till 2016. Right now, we gotta worry about Mitt Romney or President Obama. Oh boy. Yes, Matt, that's true. I see what you put in the chat room. But how many people can you obviously do this to? The National Wrestling Alliance, they might as well just fold and go out of business. Because you heard me mention last week that my good friend Gabe Ramirez, he runs a promotion in San Jose, California, And they've been going all over. It's a Mexican promotion. And the NWA, from what he told me, all he would tell me is that 6 weeks ago, the National Wrestling Alliance gave him some stupid, pathetic stipulation to keep him from running his show. How is he supposed to stop running his show? This is to the National Wrestling Alliance. Pull your finger out of your ass, please. This is getting ridiculous. Now you've got, so far I told you guys 2 weeks ago about a promotion in Florida that left them. Oh my God, altogether that's already 8 promotions? 8 promotions in the last 3 months have left the National Wrestling Alliance. And it's only September. The year's not even over yet, Matt. What in the blue hell is the National Wrestling Alliance doing? Giving these companies certain stipulations to keep their company running. In a stupid manner, of course. And now they want nothing to do with them. I remember the very, very first person who immediately cut ties with the National Wrestling Alliance. We all know who that was. That was Paul Heyman with ECW. Him and all the guys that were taking turns running ECW for Paul. Like, I remember when Dennis Carlud was very upset that Shane Douglas had thrown down the National Wrestling Alliance title belt. And he said he didn't want nothing to do with that title because it's a dead promotion. And that's when he raised up the ECW title and said, this is not a National Wrestling Alliance promotion. No, no, no. This is the ECW promotion. That was the night that changed everything for them. So ever since Shane Douglas did that, here we are almost 20 years later, and almost 10 promotions from last year. Remember, there were 5 last year. There are 6 this year. That's almost about 12 promotions that have left the National Wrestling Alliance. Oh, my goodness. I don't understand this. This logic is way too complicated to understand. All I would say is, National Wrestling Alliance, just throw yourself out of business. Nobody wants you. Everybody's leaving you because you're giving them stupid, pathetic rules, such as what you gave my good friend Gabe Ramirez, telling him, well, don't run shows every other weekend like you do. How is that possible? What the hell is that supposed to do? Are you trying to cut him down on money? Well, he's not with you anymore. He left you too. Good grief. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, yes. Coffee, I agree with you there. Got to welcome guest 2652 into the chat room. I remember they let, you know, all the Japanese wrestlers and the American guys like Mick Foley. Smoky Mountain was awesome. They just let them go out there and said, you know what? If you kill yourself, you kill yourself. Go out there and have fun. Now everybody else is trying to conserve and reinforce themselves to do whatever they need to do. Especially since we know who wants to be PG. But now that that's happened, now that that is happening, all of a sudden, after this past week for all, let me tell you that Vince McMahon and WWE are thinking logically now because they realize that it's never happened before. It's happened once in a great big while. But now it's really, really happening, and now Vince is really, really pissed off about it. And that is the fact that there was only... Do you want to know why Vince is upset and pissed off? Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you right now. He only had a 65% margin that ordered his pay-per-view Night of Champions last weekend. But this past Sunday, he totally got outdone when over 120% of people decided that they themselves and people that didn't watch it, they watched it on the internet. Either way, Dixie Carter is very happy because she got over 120% margin watching their Bound for Glory pay-per-view. Well, it wasn't Bound for Glory. It was the one that they just had this past Sunday. But the way that they're promoting their upcoming October 14th Bound for Glory pay-per-view, Vince is getting his ass kicked. And now he's not very happy. He's actually acting like my little brothers when they were kids. He's throwing a big fucking temper tantrum now. I want the best ratings, damn it! What the hell is going on? I can't believe this. I want better ratings. Well, gee, Vince. Of course your ratings are going to go down. I mean, and here's another thing I find really stupid that they did. They can't ultimately go back and tell fans, well, we're not going to do this because we change our minds. I found because Raw started off with pyro and everything, and then JBL and good old Jim Ross. It was good to see Jim Ross at the announce table. They both sat in to fill in for Jerry Lawler. And Michael Cole welcomed them, shook hands with them. We all saw that. Then Michael Cole said, because Jim Ross had said, I'm glad you're still with us, Jerry. I'm glad you're not dead. I'm just keeping your feet warm for you, okay, pal? I hope you can come back to work soon. Michael Cole says, well, that's a great gesture, JR. And I'm proud to be helping the king out tonight by wearing this shirt. And he's wearing a t-shirt that says, Long Live the King. Then he very ceremoniously looks at the camera and says, and don't worry. Jerry Lawler, thank you for your well wishes. For all of you that sent get well cards and stuff, or get well tweets and stuff like that from social media, we want to let you know that next week, he had to constantly remind us that next week on Monday Night Raw, they're going to do a live video segment with him via satellite. And of course, then Jim Ross and JBL, they weren't really looking at the camera because, well, you could tell that they were the ones, they didn't want to hear that either. He just got out of the hospital, Vince. Vince actually came to him and said, we need you to do an interview next week so that way people can actually know you're all right. He's like, I did a tout video. What more do you want? And I applaud, you know, Jerry Lawler for standing up for himself. This is crazy. They're really going to go through with this. Live from his home in Memphis, they're going to do via satellite. Michael Cole is going to talk to Jerry Lawler on Monday Night Raw. And other wrestling analysts, I'm not one of those, but other ones are saying that this is a very sarcastic move for Vince to try to turn this into a storyline. I hope you other wrestling analysts are wrong. Because I feel that this should not happen. Don't be trying to turn something that just real life happened. He really did have a heart attack at the announce table. And now you want to do a candid interview? And the thinking logically with WWE is, ooh, well, we're going to do a live video segment via satellite between Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, and our camera crew is a part of it. Let's turn this into a storyline. How the fuck are you going to turn something that happened in real life into a storyline, Vince? I don't know what WWE's logic thinking is, but this is pathetic. This is really stupid. There. I said that without taking a breath, and I just took a breath. Paul Heyman came out, and he talked about what took place 24 hours before at Night of Champions. And Paul Heyman theoretically, and this was not a promo, but he was basically telling us all the good things that happened at the pay-per-view. Well, this is only because of what I told you earlier. That they had him tell the world that on television about what took place and how things transpired and how CM Punk, with a shroud of controversy or no controversy, Heyman said, that CM Punk is undoubtedly the rightful champion. Well, the reason that he told the world about everything that took place at Night of Champions was because, like I said, they only had a 56% ratio that actually ordered the pay-per-view. So, Vince wants ratings? Well, there's your answer, Vince. You produced, but you didn't produce well enough. And Heyman started talking about Punk and finally stopped talking about Night of Champions. Because then Cena came out and he told him to shut up. And Del Rio gets involved and he tells, you know, CM Punk and John Cena to quit crying. And he's glad that the Brood Kid got reinstated right before the title match last night. And, yeah. They ended up having Chad Patton in the ring because he was the referee for that match at the pay-per-view. Of course, people were really booing him. And it was nice, Matt, when CM Punk finally came to the ring with Paul Heyman at that moment. And a loud roar of ECW chants filled the arena. Oh boy, that was awesome. Anyway, first match of the night, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara took on Primo and Epico. And this was a really back-and-forth match. The WWE started the night off right. A great back-and-forth match between two luchador wrestlers and two non-luchador wrestlers. Of course, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, they did win. But their celebration was short-lived because they got attacked by Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, who said that there doesn't need to be any more matches. They are the rightful number one contenders. Beth Phoenix took on Eve Torres. Kind of a shadow match because Beth, in a lot of ways, shadows Eve because, well, Eve's not been in WWE that long. Beth has been there longer, so that's why they have the same similar wrestling style, which Eve needs to really find her own wrestling style, stop shadowing these other women. But we know that will never happen, and I know personally that that is not her fault. That's WWE. Typical of them. Just go out there and just do the worst wrestling you can do because you're never going to find anything. Bullshit. She can be a great wrestler. give her something to do on her own, and she'll probably do it. Brodus Clay took on Heath Slater. Of course, you know that Brodus Clay won. Antonio Cesaro, though, did try to attack Brodus Clay from behind, but he got the crap kicked out of him, and of course, you know, Cesaro, you know, decided to leave, and that took up a little bit of airtime, but hey, airtime nonetheless. But of course, Michael Cole and JBL had to remind us about the Saturday morning show, which I'm keeping my word. Never watching that show again. Their Saturday morning wrestling show. Santino Marella took on Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler did win. And then JR said, I don't believe this. This is amazing, amazing wrestling. Well, yeah, we know why, because you booked it, JR. You booked the match between Santino and Dolph Ziggler. That was a one-night thing for Jim Ross. I could tell that he must be using Just for Men hair color products because, man, JR, his hair was a lot darker and so was his goatee and mustache. Wade Barrett took on his former Nexus protege, Justin Gabriel. And we all heard of, "We want Nexus." There were actually "We want Nexus" chants. Might not be a bad idea for Vince McMahon to do that. That's when he had the television ratings. Bring them back. I mean, hell, you bring everybody else back, all these other factions for one night. But Vince thinks it was a stupid move, and they should have never went through with the Nexus product. Why? Because it felt too much NWO-ish like? Come on, Vince. Vince is losing his touch. I know he's getting up there in age. Yes, we know Triple H is soon to take over. But will ownership with Triple H be that much better than Vince? It's kind of hard to say. The WWE Tag Team titles were on the line. Kofi Kingston and R-Truth took on Kane and Daniel Bryan. Of course, no one would understand why, but they did win. But even though they won, Kane said that he's the real tag team champion, and Daniel Bryan said that no, he's the real tag team champion. And this went on for about 10 minutes at the most. And Kane was still very upset that Daniel Bryan had tagged himself in for the win. Next thing you know, once Kane turned his back, Daniel Bryan kicked him right in the back of the head. Of course, the big red monster, the big red machine doesn't go down. He turned around and chokeslammed the hell out of Daniel Bryan. Can these two really get along as a tag team champions? I don't think this anger management thing is working out for them, Matt. Randy Orton took on Tensai. This was a very, talk about a back and forth match. Ooh, boy, this was back and forth. Matt, they are getting there. They are getting there. Ryback versus Punk will happen. They are trying to make sure that it happens before the year ends. We'll see if Vince McMahon can keep this up. Who knows? Who knows? Damian Sandow took on Zack Ryder. This actually, for some reason, felt like a 30-second match. Even though Zack Ryder was trying his best to really find a way to chop down Damian Sandow, to no avail, though. It did not work. And finally, they tried to promote this as kind of like what they did with the 2010 SummerSlam edition pay-per-view that they did. Kind of like the same that they did with The Rock and John Cena at WrestleMania this year. Because for the 2010 SummerSlam, remember it was DX taking on two guys that had never teamed before either. Then they did the same thing with The Rock and John Cena. They did the same thing on Raw by putting Sheamus and John Cena together to take on the unlikely team of CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio. See, they're cross-branding each other, but at the same time they were promoting it as, well, you better be sure to watch this match because this will never happen again. Those were the words of Michael Cole. And JBL, John Bradshaw Layfield, said, you're right. These teams will never face each other again. This will be a once-in-a-lifetime match. And I said, well, good. That's a pretty good way to promote Raw. By building it up as they did with the SummerSlam from 2010, just the same as they did with The Rock and John Cena earlier this year, trying to promote it as something that will never, ever happen again, and it will only take place for one night only. And I have to say, WWE did not disappoint. Sheamus and John Cena to face the team of CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio. And of course, you know, John Cena and Sheamus won. Then the match celebration, Sheamus and Cena, they hugged in the middle of the ring. No, they didn't hug it out like Daniel Bryan and Kane. Although it kind of looked like they did, right? But then the replay, they had to do replays, and the replay showed that Punk had his foot on the bottom rope, but the referee missed the call. The referee tried to leave, but Punk got right in his face, and Heyman gets in between them, but Punk won't give up. Punk then followed him up the ramp and yelled to him that his foot was on the rope. Punk then followed the referee into the back, and Raw goes off the air. Now CM Punk's trying to show his, putting his best foot forward, in theory, so to speak, that his foot was clearly on the bottom rope the whole time, that the referee missed the call. I know that referees, they play the most integrity and intensity of any wrestling match. But over the last 3 weeks with football season going on, and Vince McMahon is well aware of that, he decides that this is his way of taking the focus off the NFL referees and using it on his own referees. And Chad Patton and other referees were like, well, if I get picked, Vince McMahon, I will have no problem putting our product over. Because this is their way of making fun of the referees in the NFL for blowing calls, and, well, this is their way of making fun of them even further. See what I'm saying? It's a matter of what we want as fans. We want this. We want that. Yet we haven't gotten anything. We don't have the best wrestling. We don't have the best in any sport right now. Because if you want to hear my humble opinion, I think they're all going to hell. The NFL can't keep a referee from doing his real job versus his day job. And, you know, I've seen some NFL referees you know, in the last 3 weeks or so, where they're supposed to be doing their job, blowing the whistle to stop the play. But some of these referees have turned around and they're like, oh, she's hot. I wonder if she has a boyfriend. Can you not think about that when you're doing your damn job? That's why you're messing up these calls. It's even worse when the NBA referees get out there. Because those guys, there's girls right in front of them. Ooh. She's really, really hot. I need to get her damn phone number. But you know that that is not the case in WWE. WWE's case is to make fun of these referees outside of their own sport. That's what the cause of concern is right now. Is that the NFL, the National Hockey League, the NBA, and of course Major League Baseball. We want referees with integrity who aren't going to pay attention to what's going on in the stands with what girl that's here. I remember when the Patriots had been caught cheating after all this time with what they did a few years ago, we all remember that. But they asked the referee, Scott Atkins, and Mr. Atkins had said, well, I did tell the Patriots that they had a touchdown, but the tape clearly showed, and they explained to him that the ball was clearly on the one-yard line. He's like, yeah, I see that. I blew that call. Well, what were you thinking? You were running down the field trying to keep an eye on things, but then you turned and you stopped running after what was going on in the field. Well, my girlfriend was in the stands. And I just went, that's the stupidest comment you can give a reporter. Your girlfriend was in the stands. Whoop-dee-doo. I mean, I don't know if I had a girlfriend and I was a referee. Sure, I want to keep an eye on her and make sure she's safe and protected and not being messed with by any random guy. But at the same time, I've got a job to do, ladies and gentlemen. Job profession is not about what you want. It's about what your employers want. But it's more important and fun for us as fans, because sometimes we usually get what we want in sports and in wrestling. But it hasn't really happened, because wrestling theory and theology has always been a subject of these words. And that is this. We're here to put on a great show of great wrestling action. Send the fans home happy with something special. Well, we haven't gotten sent home with something special. Even if we are watching your wrestling product from home, I remember that it was Shane Douglas who said one time at a house show, we may not be on TV tonight, but let's act and pretend like we're on TV tonight. Because we've never been to this city before. Look it around you, boys. Look around you. Did you ever think we would be able to do an ECW show in North Carolina? We need to go out there and show these fans and thank them enough, even though we're not on TV tonight. And even though he's not wrestling related, Vince Lombardi said one time that to show respect to fans, you have to give respect to fans first. And it goes in line with what I said last year in around this same time. And that is, You have to be there. You're in that position to tell the world what you're really here for. That you're glad that the fans use their hard-earned money to pay you. I mean, I can contribute to what Coffee said earlier. That he doesn't really hate Linkin Park. He just doesn't understand Linkin Park. He said he wouldn't want to waste his money on it, going to a Linkin Park show. Yes, some bands do suck. And if they sound sucky to you, more than likely you don't want to go to their concert because their concert is probably going to suck. But that's not the world you live in with Vince McMahon. Because ever since his PG theology kicked in last year in October, he now has that attitude where, well, that's what I produce, that's what I produce. You don't like it? Get the fuck out of my building. Or don't come to my shows anymore. No, you can't say that. He's not going to say it out loud, because he knows he'll lose so many customers. I mean, it's like us at our job. Back in January of this year, me and my boss sat down and we said, we've got to change some policies around here for our employees, for our volunteers. That way they can get the word out to our customers to stop bringing crap into our store that we can't sell or use to be donated. And we did. My boss typed up this whole thing of what our new policy is, what our new guidelines are, what we will accept and what we will no longer accept. Has that made some people pissed off in the process? Yes. Has it helped us out a bit? Tremendously. We're not going to the dump as much as we used to throw away people's crap. It's funny. I'll tell you a side story before we go to commercial break. Earlier this week, this lady wanted us to check out her stuff in her truck. And we said, what do you have here? She had this sofa couch. Problem with her sofa couch was we couldn't use it. It had dog crap on it. It was all messed up from her stupid cat putting holes in the couch. And my boss was like, I'm not taking this. Then she proceeds to tell us, she said, you're not taking it? Because my boss had a phone call. I said, no, we're not taking that. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do for you here. Then she proceeded to tell us that we have to take it. No. My boss immediately got off his phone. He's like, hold on. We're having a problem with the customer here, giving Matt an attitude. He's like, we have to? She's like, yes. You're a nonprofit organization that takes furniture and other kinds of donations. And we said, no, we don't have to. She said, I'm a customer. He said, no. And she said something else, and she gave us the middle finger. I was like, I so badly wanted to go, you're not Steve Austin, put that finger down. But that's not my role. If I was just a regular employee, I probably would have said that. But it's different in the world of sports. You have to give. Think of it. Think about what I said. We don't have to take your furniture, is what we told the lady. We don't have to do anything. But in the world of sports, and more importantly, wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, you have to give everyone a little bit of something, and yes, you have to send them home happy. Boy, oh boy. Did TNA send us home happy this week? Well, with, you know, them leading us to October 14th with their Bound for Glory pay-per-view, I sure hope they did.
Hey, fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper. I want to thank you for listening today. I want to remind everyone that if you want to stay up on all of our events, head on over to sportstalkwiththeguys.com. There you're going to find a hip and happening forum and up-to-date news on our blog and maybe even a few of our friends, or as we call associates. Definitely not comrades, but you can find Matt Alvarez and, of course, Sonny Clark as the Couch Potato. Check out the links over at sportstalkwiththeguys.com.
You called that way, and that's why you say the things that you say. You can't attract the things that you lack. You're trying in vain. It seems it's always a crazy time to find. You wake up and realize it takes more than your day.
Sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. I want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific time, because we are the four-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, TNA is creating new concepts, new original concepts, and no, I can assure you that it's not done by Eric Bischoff because he no longer works there. See, this is what happens when you open up all your doors. Vince, on the other hand, has closed all his doors. TNA last night presented us with something new. They said that starting next Thursday, they're going to have another way to keep titles, keep them being defended on television. The new feeling now is that every week, a different title will be defended each week. And they are now calling it Championship Thursday. See, now that Vince closed all his doors to just being the only one to one door open, and that is for a PG product. You can't create new ideas like this. You can't create any ideas whatsoever when you only have one door open. TNA, on the other hand, it took them all this time. It took them 5 years to do this. But at least they're doing it and creating a cultured, you know, segment called Championship Thursdays, where they said that each week a champion must defend his title on Thursday night for TNA Impact. And of course, you know, every 2 weeks or every third week thereafter, we know is Open Fight Night. Well, last night's Open Fight Night did not disappoint, because we had a number one contenders match for the tag team titles. AJ Styles and Kurt Angle took on Hernandez and Chavo Guerrero. And Taz, of course, had to say that he is the man who invented lying, stealing, and cheating. I know Taz didn't want to say that, but he had to. Why can't they just tell the truth? That the lying, cheating, and stealing was not invented by Chavo Guerrero. Eddie was wrestling way before he came along. And then Chavo tried to tell the world that, well, Hernandez, you know, I got your back. I can do this because I've been doing it for so long. And I was the first one to jump companies. And then my great uncle Eddie, he jumped companies. No, Chavo, you know that's not true. Because Eddie started out in ECW for a while. Nobody knows that, but it's true. Then people got to see him more because he was on television all the time with WCW, but then he got tired of WCW because they weren't paying him. They weren't paying a lot of people. Then he left to go to the WWE. Then he went back to ECW for a little bit, but then he went to WWE again. Chavo was in WCW all the way up until they went out of business. Then he jumped ship. Ugh, why can't they just tell the truth about these things? See, they're not giving us what we want. It's about time it happens. But anyways, this tag team match, it was a good match, but there was no winner because there was no contest to name winners. That's because you can blame, you know, Kazarian. Then you can blame, you know, his tag team partner. You can blame Christopher Daniels for that one. So Hogan came out and he said, well, and I've been trying to think who the last two teams are going to take on each other at Bound for Glory, but apparently you two don't know the word of stay away. I gave you a stay away order not to get involved in any more tag team matches with not just AJ Styles and Kurt Angle, not just with Hernandez and Chavo Guerrero, but with any team that I put out on the card. But since you don't know how to stay away and follow my orders like I've told you, Hogan said, you just made it very easy for me. Now you're going to put your title online against AJ Styles and Kurt Angle and Hernandez and Chavo Guerrero. That's all I have to say to you two. And they were, of course, pissed off and being real actors about it. So now we're going to have a triple threat tag team match at Bound for Glory, and whoever wins there will become the ultimate tag team champions. We'll see what happens. And we went to gut check, and, you know, a gut check is always good. But this time they got a kid, Evan Markopoulos, who's only 18 years old. Now everybody says, well, every time they get a new wrestler or any promotion gets a new wrestler, they always look buff. And I like the buff guys. Well, if you're a lady and you're listening to this product podcast right now, sorry, ladies, no, this kid is not buff. He might be cute to some of you ladies, but he's not buff. He's not muscular. He's coming into the business as his own. Much like several other wrestlers that came in just as skinny as he did. And he looked good last night in his match. You could tell he was still kind of green because he's never been on television. So you could tell he was nervous as hell about being on television. He took on Douglas Williams, but Doug was too much for him to handle. He beat the crap out of that kid, especially when he did a one-hook arm drag, and he slammed that poor kid out on the staging area, right on the entrance. That's metal, too. That's not even padded. Oh. Could you imagine being 18 and knowing damn well you have a real, real skinny body and your skinny back just goes smack right into that metal? Ooh, God, that's got to hurt. But Douglas Williams is your winner. And, of course, James Storm and, you know, Robert Roode still having their problems, and Robert saying that this is over with and we're done. He's like, no, this is the open fight night. He's like, I'm not dressed to compete. I'm not wrestling you. I'm done with you. Then he walks backstage, and he tries to get to his dressing room, but Hogan keeps blocking him and blocking him again. He's like, what the hell was that? This is open fight night. You are not going to disappoint these people. You're going to give these people what they want. He's like, well, you don't tell me what to do, Hogan. I'm my own boss, damn it. Hogan said, damn it? You want to damn me? Well, fine. You got 3 minutes. If you don't go to that ring in 3 minutes, you won't get no more championship opportunities. No more of your favorite matches that you'd like to be in. Oh, and how about no pay for the rest of the year? Think about that. And, of course, Robert Roode, you know, doing his best, staring at the camera. He's like, get that shit out of here. I got 3 minutes. And so, you know, they go to the commercial, and Hogan's like, no, you made up your mind? He's like, I'm going. He starts taking off his shirt. And James Storm versus Robert Roode last night. James Storm did say at the top of the show that he was going to make sure that this was going to be nothing but a bloody, bloody street fight. And oh, it was. It was nothing but a street fight. And of course, I can understand where they were coming from. Because Brian Hebner is trying to keep order. But the last 10 minutes of this whole brawl that took place all over the arena, they went everywhere. And I mean everywhere. But James Storm had enough of Brian Hebner. So did Robert Roode. And after Robert Roode had intentionally punched Brian Hebner in the face, that's when he gave up. And he just rung the bell. He's like, ring the bell. I'm disqualifying both of them. That's it. Showing such tenacity in a match like that was awesome, but there was no winner. Hey. And, you know, I mean, so much, even more now with this Aces and Eights thing going on. Took a wild and strange turn. There we saw, of course, the other thing we saw that's crazy was, damn, Christy Hemming got almost had to, was about to get her ass kicked by the one who performed the Widow's Peak. And, of course, Brooke Tessmacher wasn't going to stand by and let that happen. She came out and protected, you know, Christy Hemming, saying that, come on, you know this has nothing to do with her. You leave her alone. This is between me and you. And she said she wanted nothing to do with Brooke Tessmacher. She's like, well, it's open fight night. Get your ass in this ring. Of course, Austin Aries took on Bully Ray. Bully Ray did win. But Aces and Eights, you know, Hogan was supposed to get a message from Joseph Park, and he said that he was going to bring it. He said last week, I'll bring it next week. Yes, Matt, I think you're right. Jeff Hardy will be the champion soon, perhaps at Bound for Glory on October 14th. But it's a culmination of actors and actresses coming together to build one big thing. The biggest thing they got going is, guess 2950, is their Aces and Eights deal. Hogan's like, oh, you want to trade? Oh, you want me to come to your house? Okay, I can play by those rules. And the thing that everybody, the entire world thought, ladies and gentlemen, that rumors are kind of still swirling, but they're kind of dying. The rumors that Hogan is behind the Aces and Eights deal. Not so many people believe that now. But then again, there was some controversy to add credit to that statement about whether or not Hogan is really behind Aces and Eights. Because I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, if Hogan would have stayed with Vince McMahon, let's pretend he never jumped ship to WCW in the 90s. Do you know that he would have never known a damn thing about this NWO shit? But because he has experience with stuff like this, he's going to react to it. He's going to make the fans think that he's really doing this or he's really doing that. All of them are. But like I said, as we go off the air today, let me leave you with this. Like I said, I believe last night when they beat the hell out of Joseph Park with a mini hammer and busted him open, because the Ace of the Nates, in theory, had kidnapped Joseph Park, and all this information that he was supposed to give Hulk Hogan was on his laptop. But he's like, okay, okay, that's okay. I got all the information up here in my head. You'll never get the information that I was going to give to Hogan. Like, oh, you got it in your head, huh? Well, we're going to fix that for you. And that's when they busted him open. They left us with what we wanted. They did, as I said 20 minutes ago, send us home happy. Because now you have to tune in. See, this is what wrestling is supposed to be like. This is why Vince McMahon is so uptight and pissed off that he didn't get that many viewers to tune into his Night of Champions pay-per-view. He's even more pissed off now, I'm sure. By now he's heard that TNA has this new concept. Not only do they have open fight night going on twice a month, but they created a new thing, like I said earlier, that last night Mike Tenay had announced that they're going to have Championship Thursdays as well. The other thing they've got going is the gut check. Gut check is basically where you bring in new developmental people and see if they can actually get a contract in TNA wrestling. See, more and more doors are opening for them. Why? Because they haven't changed. Because now there's even new talk now that because TNA Impact is so groundbreaking and so original that there's new talk. A possibility, ladies and gentlemen, a possibility of them possibly going, but this will probably never happen, to an M-rated show, which means that would increase their revenue, more money. Vince McMahon and WWE, they need more money. Well, you ain't going to get shit, Vince, because you closed all your doors and you became a PG product. You only want to cater to children now. All because of what you did on October 12th of last year. You won't be able to get that money revenue from USA Network. Spike TV's been saving all their money so that way they can pay the shows that are on their air. This is how you do business. This is how you give the fans what they want. And this is how you send fans home happy. Take care, everyone. I'll be back here next week with, I'm sure, even more ridiculous things to talk about. Because the NFL is underway on Sunday. Raw is on Monday. Have a great week.
Getting to the top rope, and he's in it! Frog splash! Frog splash! Come on! Get it! Do it! Two! Yes! It's champion!
He looked and he thought his dad, John Hancock, on a great new 15-year contract. He goes, so that one, like, they go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question.
You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake? What?
What's that? Is that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.